Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Claudio Salgato. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Excellent. Do you want to tell us what you do, Claudio? You're Director of Projects at the Hyatt in Hong Kong, but what does that mean?
I've been working for Hyatt for 16 years, and most of my career was in food and beverage, running and operating restaurants and bars and banquet facilities in the hotels. And over the years, and with the amount of expansion that we're having these days here in Asia, especially in China, my role ended up diverting towards planning the facilities of our new hotels rather than operating them. So today I look after the hotels we have under development, and I plan all our food and beverage facilities from an operational perspective.
How many hotels is the Hyatt developing at the moment?
We have approximately 26 hotels under development.
Wow, that's quite a bit, isn't it?
Yes, it's a very strong growth for us, and especially China. China is the main developing market for us.
Sure. The Hyatt's obviously a well-respected hotel chain around the world. Are there issues that you have to deal with in terms of setting up the hotels that maybe aren't common in other regions of the world?
Yes, certainly there are a number of issues. We are lucky, I would say, in the sense that Hyatt has always had a strong focus in food and beverage. We operate all of our restaurants ourselves. We don't like leasing out food and beverage spaces to outside operators. So we run all of our facilities ourselves, which over the years gave us the certain advantage of having good experience in developed restaurants for the local communities where we are. In every hotel that we have, the restaurants that we develop are meant for the local community and not necessarily for the hotel guests. So we've been present in Hong Kong and China since 1969, so we have a bit of experience operating this part of the world. But when it comes specifically to wine, obviously, a lot has changed over the past 10 years. And China is certainly a growing market, which is becoming more and more sophisticated every day, with people enjoying and appreciating drinking wine. It's a big difference between Hong Kong and China. Hong Kong is today a very sophisticated wine buying and wine drinking market, especially when the wine taxes were cut to zero a couple of years ago, has really gave Hong Kong a good advantage in terms of becoming a wine hub for Asia. Mm-hmm. So this indirectly has also helped China in facilitating opening the China market for more and more wine distributors, because the challenge we used to have in China is that the number of wines available was quite restrictive. The wine import market was dominated by a few large wine distribution companies.
That's the likes of Summergate and ASC, is that right?
That's correct, yes. They did a fantastic job, and they were instrumental in setting up the whole wine import and wine distribution business in China, and really, I mean, we couldn't be where we are today without them. But now that things are evolving, I think it's important to have a little bit more choice, because one of the challenges in China is often when you go to a restaurant, you see the same wines everywhere, mm-hmm. because there was limited supply. So this has over the years been a challenge, which now we're slowly overcoming, and being able to work with some smaller wine importers and be able to be different from everyone else.
I suppose the trouble with smaller importers is that if they're too small, they may not be able to give you continuity supply, or maybe the customer services isn't as thorough as maybe some of the bigger companies.
Absolutely. This big companies, they said they play a very important role, and they were our best partners in the business because they often provided very good customer service, helped providing training for the staff, and they were key in helping new hotels and restaurants building up a decent wine list. With smaller companies, there's sometimes this problem with continuity. They run out of stock or vintage changes without you being notified. So I think that the important thing today is try to have a balance because you still need to work with the large companies. But in order to differentiate yourselves, you need to look for alternatives as well.
What are some of the issues? We talked earlier about some of the issues associated with the Chinese market because obviously you're setting up hotels in China as well. And you mentioned counterfeiting. And some people I've spoken to in Hong Kong say, no, it's not a problem. Some people say, no, it's those pesky Europeans doing all the problems. What's your experience on counterfeit wines?
We had some problems, especially when it comes to fine wines, classified Bordeaux. And the challenge is that the counterfeits are of extremely high quality. It's very difficult to spot them. And it's really only if you have an experienced sommelier in the property that knows the bottle and can sometimes spot minor differences in the label or on the foil and then takes the time and care to compare against a genuine bottle that we sometimes spot these things. It's a growing problem, unfortunately. Percentage-wise, it represents, I would say, less than 1%.
Yeah.
But in dollar-wise, it could be quite significant when you're talking about, let's say, a 82 Latour or Petrus.
They can be quite pricey.
Yes.
When we were talking earlier, you did mention two types of buyers in China and Hong Kong. You gave two scenarios, really. Do you want to just recap what they were?
Yes, we in this part of the world, entertaining guests is something very important. And in Chinese, we say that when you entertain someone, you need to give face to the person, meaning you need to show respect and appreciation for the relationship, be a business relationship or whatever relationship. So when you entertain someone, you need to give the person face. And one way of doing that is by serving a good quality food and drinks. Mm-hmm. So often, depending on who you entertain, you will bring the person to an expensive restaurant and then serve. If it's a Chinese meal, you're going to serve shark's fins and abalone and bird's nest and an expensive steamed garupa. And when it comes to beverage, these days you most probably open an expensive bottle of a classified Bordeaux. This has changed over the years. In 15 years ago, people used to open an expensive bottle of XO cognac.
Yeah.
But with sophistication level increasing, I think Bordeaux are the beverage of choice for these situations. But on the other hand, there's the second type of consumer, which is the average drinking consumer, which is, I think, one of the biggest growing markets, both in Hong Kong and China, where people are becoming more and more savvy about what they drink and open to experience new wines from different parts of the world and different grape varietals, and so it's quite exciting to see the growth in number of people and especially among the local Chinese people drinking wine, and you see lots of wine clubs being set up and more wine bars popping up everywhere. It's quite exciting times.
You mentioned a few stories about, you know, drinking Petrus and Coke and things like that. And I think that's quite funny from one respect, I suppose. But I'm sure it's not the norm these days. But you did talk about one of the issues associated with giving face was about spending the right amount of money on the wine. And in the UK, wine lists are often defined by maybe whites or reds or grape variety. Is that the way it's done over here?
Yes, but there's a third way of listing wines that you see often in Hong Kong and China is listing wines by the price. Mm. So when you're selecting something to offer to your guests, you don't even need to look at the left side of the wine list. You just concentrate on the right side, and you just scroll down the price column until you reach a value that you think it's about right for the person you're entertaining, and then that's the wine you okay. choose.
Is that why people keep serving me Jacob's Creek?
Come on.
Okay. I just thought I'd throw it in. What's the situation with staff? We were talking a wee bit about that you guys are currently doing a recruitment for a sommelier. Are sommeliers easy to come by in Hong Kong?
Not that easy. There is a tremendous growing interest in people in the food and beverage industry to learn about wines and eventually become sommeliers. So we have, as I mentioned to you before, here at the Grand Hyatt Hong Kong, we run WSET courses internally for our staff, and we have over 40 certified WSET staff in the hotel and in the different levels. So there's a growing demand of becoming a sommelier. The challenge that we find is when it comes to finding someone with an international experience, someone that has had a good amount of exposure in visiting wine regions and really knowing wines from all over the world, it's difficult to keep these people. What we see happening, especially in Asia, is that a lot of sommeliers, they seem to leave the business, either because they want to become hotel general managers or because they want to join wine distribution companies because they think that perhaps they will work less, they'll have the weekends off, opposed to being working long hours on their feet in the restaurant. So the challenge actually is not in finding sommeliers, but it's in retaining them and retaining them loyal to the job.
So you're actually looking for a sommelier at the moment, but you're looking for an expat as opposed to a local Hong Kong person. What's driving you there?
The main reason is because we would like to bring to the team someone with new ideas, someone with different background that could add to the team. And in our case, this role, we were looking for someone who will be in charge of three hotels at the same time. So we want someone that can, on one hand, lead the service teams of all three hotels, that can provide a lot of support and training to the staff, but also bring new ideas for our customers. As I mentioned before, Hong Kong is quite sophisticated these days, so it's important to always have something new to offer.
And what does a sommelier earn in Hong Kong?
Sommelier salaries can vary a lot and are very much in line with what you pay to restaurant staff, being a restaurant assistant manager or a restaurant manager. For a position like the one we're looking for, since we're looking for an expatriate person that hopefully will come to us with a good amount of experience, we are willing to pay a high salary equivalent to a director of food and beverage with a full expatriate package, because otherwise we would not be able to find such an individual.
You don't want to give us a number?
I mean, I can, but it's not sure about the accuracy of the number and then the relevancy.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Hong Kong's quite a small island, and land prices are quite expensive. What does that mean for things like your cellars? Do you have big cellars at the Hyatt here?
No, we don't. We have a good amount of temperature control cellar in the hotel that to fulfill the operation of our restaurants, but we don't necessarily cellar wines for aging.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is, one hand, because the value of the real estate, it's so high that it doesn't justify converting usable space into storage, when at the same time, the amount of wine available in Hong Kong is tremendous. And the city is so efficient that it's so easy to work with wine distributors that have amazing stocks of great vintages of old Bordeaux. So for us, it's just easier to keep a minimum amount in the hotel, keep reordering on a daily basis.
Just-in-time service, really, isn't it? What about some of the restaurants and hotels in China? Do you keep stocks in those hotels?
Yes, in China, we tend to have a lot bigger wine cellar, wine storage spaces. First, because cost of land is not as high as in Hong Kong, and we're able to carve out spaces in the hotel to store wine, and because of the challenges that I mentioned before with stock continuity and certain vintages changing and not being available, we tend to stock a lot more.
Yesterday I went off and I thought I'd get myself a nice bottle of wine just to drink, because I was working late in my hotel last night, and I popped into a shop called Bordeaux, I think it was, or Bordeaux Fine Wines in Pacific Park or Pacific Way?
Pacific Place,
that's yes. The one. And funnily enough, they had a Cloudy Bay there for sale, and they also had a Stoneleigh Riesling and a Oyster Bay, and they're all about the same price of around £20 a bottle, which I was quite surprised, because £20 a bottle for Cloudy Bay I was fine with. £20 for Oyster Bay I was like, that seems a bit inappropriate. Is that a typical shop in Hong Kong? Did I just find the wrong shop, or is... Because I haven't really seen a lot of wine shops around.
There are some, but not that many. And the wine shops in Hong Kong tend to be rather small compared to what you would find in the UK or...
Oh, this was a meter deep and about 4 meters wide. It was tiny.
But about them charging you the same amount for Oyster Bay compared to Cloudy Bay, I think someone made a mistake with the price tag. Because yeah. Oyster Bay, you can find it easily in supermarkets here.
Yeah.
So what happens in Hong Kong is independent wine shops, you don't find that many. And that has a lot to do with real estate cost. Most wine import companies, they work very strongly with private customers, and they direct sell to private customers either through their newsletters or their websites, and that's a very strong market for them. And Hong Kong being small, deliveries can be done quickly within the day. People just feel comfortable in calling the wine importer and placing an order, and they have the wines delivered at their door the next day.
I think we'll wrap it up there, Claudio. Thank you very much for your time.
Welcome, my pleasure.